Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Hideaway Podcast, episode 30.
Trente! So, it's been 30 episodes.
We made it this far.
Can't believe it.
Who would have thought?
And sorry we were away last week.
Did you miss us?
You better have missed us. Happy Thanksgiving, belated.
Happy Thanksgiving!
We have a pretty exciting new thing we're working on.
Yeah, some of you probably already seen it. Lindsay and I launched our Kickstarter.
Yes.
This past Friday.
Yeah, we just started, so it's exciting. We basically are doing a virtual reality circus and dance piece.
That you probably heard us talk about a little bit on this podcast before. We've teased it in the last few episodes, but we're going to tell you all about it today, tell you what it's like to kickstart something, and then we're going to talk about the news from the circus industry this past 2 weeks, which there was a lot of.
There was a lot.
A lot of shows closing, opening, a few sad stories, and a few very positive ones. So yeah. We'll start the Kickstarter, and then we'll get into the news.
Great.
No guest today.
No guest today, so you get to hear our lovely voices.
Enjoy. Virtual reality is a thing that's been around since the 70s, but is just, as of 2 years ago, becoming mainstream again.
Who was the first company that really started? Was it Oculus?
Oculus, which was kickstarted originally.
Oh, wow.
But
is Oculus the Google?
Oculus is Facebook's one.
Oh, Facebook. Okay, so right.
So there are, from the tech company side, there are four or five major players who are really doing it right now, which is Google, Samsung, Facebook. Apple has a division that's doing virtual reality, but doesn't have any like virtual reality products out yet. And then GoPro is actually also spending a lot of time on the camera equipment side of the business. But virtual reality is what you've seen in the TV shows and in movies, where you put on a headset. Sometimes you have hand controllers. Sometimes there are other things on your body. But the idea is that you can walk around and be in a virtual environment. And it sort of sounds, maybe for somebody who has experience, like, what's the big deal having two screens on your eyes?
Two eyes.
What's the big deal having two eyes? All I need is one eye. But it is amazing.
Yes.
And what really makes it amazing.
Well, I was one of those disbelievers in virtual reality.
Yes, you were.
I was like, Josh, this is stupid. It sounds really stupid. And I had only experienced it on the first ever Google Cardboard glasses. Then Josh was like, no, it's great. And we bought a Vive, and it's
made by HTC, who makes a lot of your smartphones.
And it's at the time it was the best version of it. And
right now it's still the best version.
You think?
Until mid-January, it will still be the best version when Oculus's hand controllers come out.
Okay, so for about two more months, it's still the best version.
Yeah.
But putting it on and experiencing virtual reality in the way that it's meant to be experienced was like mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, some of you who are film buffs will know the story of when movies came out the very first time in the late 1800s, early 1900s. There's a story about this scene where the train is coming into the station. That's what they filmed. And everybody in the audience screamed and ran out of the theater because they were like, oh my God, I don't want the train to pop off screen and run into us. And virtual reality is in a very similar place now. Like, there are not many virtual reality movies out there. There are only a handful of games. Only a handful of people still have yet to experience what virtual reality is.
If you watch our Kickstarter campaign, you can see the first time I ever did it.
It's really funny. We put Lindsay in
a zombie hunting game. It really feels like the zombies are like an inch away from biting you. And as a Walking Dead major fan, it was a very fun experience. They should come out with a virtual reality.
Do you remember what weapons they let you use?
You could choose, but I chose a gun and a katana.
Nice. Little zombie hunter. But when you're not hunting zombies, there's basically nothing you can't do in virtual reality if you have a good enough hardware. And what I mean by that is you can really convince yourself you are in another place for an extended period of time. Because these headsets track you down, your head movement down to the millimeter. And the newer ones coming out in the next couple of years will be tracking it down exactly to where your pupil is looking. And by doing that, it convincingly tricks your brain into thinking you are in that location. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the weirdest part about virtual reality is coming out of it. When you take it off of your head, you're like, oh, I'm just
back
in
my office. Yeah.
But so what are we doing? Why don't you talk about what we're doing in virtual reality?
Well, so what we're doing is, like Josh said, there's not much content other than games and maybe very short videos. And just because of where the technology is currently, it's hard to watch something for more than, you know, either a few minutes or at the maximum, like a half hour. And so what we decided is we've, after doing some experiments with our own virtual reality camera, 360 camera, and seeing how cool it was to watch circus in virtual reality, because you get to have vantage points that you would never normally get to view an act from, we decided to reach out to some of our colleagues and friends and ask them to be a part of it. So what we're doing is we have five acts, and as the viewer, you get to experience these acts that we're going to create specifically for to be viewed in 360 degrees. So one act is Kion and Mari Madrid, who you guys have probably heard us talk about. They are the choreographers of Slumber.
I believe Mari is episode 16.
Mari is, yeah, we still have to get Kion on. But Kion and Mari also have like a billion views on YouTube from their Justin Bieber music video, and as well as like their plethora. Yeah,
other millions of views videos as well.
Yeah, but they're going to create a dance specifically for virtual reality, which I've yet to see. And then we have a crossbow act by Mr. and Mrs. G., Octavio and Naomi Gizmundo. And this one is going to, I think, be the coolest in the sense that it literally can only be done in virtual reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
so it wouldn't be safe to do it. Like Keone Mari could dance around you if you probably could fly them out to your house and pay them up to ask them to dance around you.
Yeah, please dance around me.
But I think the crossbow just simply would not even be possible with a real person.
No. So basically what we're alluding to is Octavio does this this moment in their act where Naomi stands with a apple on her head, and Octavio from about 20 feet away shoots a crossbow into the arrow and right over her head.
It's all real. Yeah. People always ask me, is it real? Is there magic involved? I have seen this act. I have seen the arrow travel through air. I have seen backstage. It is all real. They are really incredible sharpshooter stuntmen, women, risk takers, and it's such a exciting act because there's really nothing like it.
Right, but as a viewer, we are going to put you as the person who's getting the apple shot at off of their head, which again can literally only be safe in virtual reality, which I think is like the most exciting part of virtual reality. You can really try to figure out things that just would be dangerous or unsafe for an everyday person to be a part of. So we also have Spencer Novick.
I think
I always say it wrong, but I've been friends with him for so long, it's embarrassing to ask how to pronounce his last name. So if he's listening, maybe he can just text me like the pronunciation. So Spencer Novick is known really for his sound effects act. He did it at the Paris Festival and won bronze with his sound effects act, and has done it in like so many different shows all over the world.
London, Australia,
and it's something that he's, you know, known for and really kind of originated. So he is going to completely reimagine this act for virtual reality, which is so exciting because there's just so many things you could do. We can animate over it. We can have different sounds that he doesn't normally get to work with.
And in the same way that with virtual reality, as you turn your head, you see different things. As you turn your head, you hear different things, which is not something that you can do too easily with just a video on YouTube.
And we have two other acts, which we will be announcing. There'll be a surprise.
Yeah, we gotta guys keep you guys hooked, right?
So please, 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 please go to our Facebook and look at the Kickstarter campaign. If it seems like something that sparks your interest, think about donating. And if not, if you could share it, that would be wonderful too.
And for those of you who are like, yeah, this sounds cool, but why give? Like, I mean, I like the project, I want to watch it, but why support it? For Lindsay and I, we've been really struggling with this problem of live theater and live circus that only the people who are able to afford a ticket and are able to be in the city or the location in which the performance is happening get to see it. Many of you who are listening to our podcast, I know from our stats, don't just live in New York City and probably did not have the opportunity to see Slumber, although I know many of you did, and many of you won't have the chance to see it in Australia. But with virtual reality, all you need is a smartphone, and as cheap as a $10 cardboard, you could buy a $40 fancier Google one that's really comfortable, or you could buy a couple $100 one that works with your PlayStation.
And depending on how much you give, we'll send you a Hideaway Circus
virtual reality headset
so you can view it.
But to me, what's exciting and important is that we can bring the best acts in the world, the way it used to be back in the 1910s and 20s, where they would scour the world for the most crazy circus acts and bring them to you. And that's hard to do unless you're Cirque du Soleil, unless you can, you have, you know, that size budget. But with virtual reality, we can get the best people for you right to you directly on your couch while you wear a nice headset. But yeah, like Lindsay said, visit our Kickstarter. We talk all about it. You can see videos of the acts we have included. And for those of you who don't know what Kickstarter is a crowdfunding platform that is all or nothing. So our goal is to raise a little bit of money from a lot of people. And we will only receive that money if we reach our goal. So please chip in, support us if you like the podcast and you want to keep it going. Mm-hmm. This is a great way to do it.
Yeah, we just want to push the boundaries of circus and dance and explore where the mediums can go together, which, you know, in this day and age, you have to embrace technology and where the world's going. So hopefully we can do that for circus.
Fingers crossed.
So in other news today, Paramore is closing.
Well, not closing today.
No, it's just, I said that weird. It's not closing today. It is closing in April. April what?
I believe it's 16th. Paramore is Cirque du Soleil's Broadway show.
So Josh and I were wondering how long it would stay open, just because shows on Broadway typically either last a few months, a year, or if they pass the year mark, they can last a few years. And that's like, or they're like an anomaly like Wicked and last 11. So it's pretty much the constant trend. And I think Paramore did a pretty good job and like was here a whole year and really made an impact. And a lot of people got to see Cirque on Broadway.
Well, it's very funny the way they announce it, because often they'll cite ticket sales as the reason why they're closing. Like ticket sales have been very strong, or there's a lot of competition from Hamilton.
Yeah.
But the reason they gave is because Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which we talked about a few episodes ago, is going to go into the Lyric, which is where Cirque du Soleil is right now. It's the biggest Broadway theater. And that the theater needs to kick Cirque out in order to do lots of renovations to the theater, which, you know, we'll assume is true. It may be a little bit of both. It may be a little bit of ticket sales, and also that, you know, there's pressure from the theater owner. Scott Zeiger, the president of Cirque du Soleil Theatricals, has said they're going to be looking at other theaters in New York and for a possible Germany run in 2018. So
the Germany run, it to me seems like a plausible thing. The looking for other Broadway theaters does not, just knowing the landscape and how hard it is to get a theater
in the first place.
It doesn't seem likely that someone would take Paramore into their theater unless like they literally have a hole and can't find it. But the Lyric is kind of the only one that works for Cirque because of all the rigging. And, you know, it's just a newer theater anyway, because they redid it for Spider-Man.
Yeah. A lot of people hate on Lyric, but I really love the Lyric as a theater. Yeah, it's like beautiful. A lot of seats, a lot of space between those seats.
It's just
seats.
Nothing has great been able lobby. To work in it. That's why everyone hates it. It's just, It's almost like two, but that's why I think Harry Potter is the perfect thing to go into that. It's a two-part play. So if you buy tickets to part one night, you have to buy tickets to part two for another night, which is so genius by their producer, Sonia Friedman, who is, I think,
and
like
Colin
one of the
Callender.
Most, yeah, but Sonia Friedman is really the person who's, I think, pushing the boundaries the most in theater producing. Like she did Richard III and 12th Night in Rep, and was able to, like, what, 250 tickets a night for $25?
Yeah.
And still made a profit. I mean, I think she's pretty incredible, and Harry Potter, I think, will be amazing in that theater, but I just don't buy Cirque's press release of, you know, we had to close so they could work on the theater and we'll find another theater.
It's been a pretty dark few weeks for Cirque du Soleil. And, you know, Lindsay and I tried not to dwell on the negative too much in the Hideaway podcast, but I think it's worth talking about a little bit. There were two very, very sad fatalities that happened in the last 2 weeks that we think are worth talking about. Fletcher Sanchez, who is a acrobat that had been working on Paramore, died, as well as the son of the vice president of Cirque du Soleil, who was a technician on Luzia. And it's just a very sad week for the circus community, having these two people who are mm-hmm. known by a lot of people, loved by a lot of people, pass away. So I sort of want to send our thoughts to those of you who knew them and had relationships with them, and that, you know, we're thinking about you guys, and we're sending love your way to the Cirque du Soleil community this week.
In other slightly disappointing circus news, Big Apple filed for bankruptcy officially. They ended in like about $8 million of debt and
about $2.5 million of assets.
Right. So maybe Josh and I will just buy their tents, plop them up and live in them.
I don't know. We're trying to kickstart just to fundraise right now. I don't know if we have to buy enough, even in bankruptcy, to buy
Big Apple's assets. If they'll take like $20 for it, I can afford it.
But if you are somebody who led the Big Apple Circus and have, probably around $1 million laying around to restart it, now is your chance.
I still am pretty shocked that, regardless of anything, not one person in New York City. There is so much money in New York City. Not one person was like, I'll buy the circus for $2 million or whatever.
Well, I think it's different pre and post bankruptcy.
So maybe you think people are waiting, we're waiting for them to go into bankruptcy and then they'll buy them?
Well, if you joined prior to the bankruptcy, you would have to cover that $8 million in debt. Like even if you get... But, paid in $1 million, $2 million, yeah, part of it, you'd still have that debt on you. And now that they're going to sell that debt and restructure, if they do restructure, they may just sell that debt and close the company. Or, you're sort of starting afresh. You can start afresh in a way now you couldn't have done before.
Yes. I love Big Apple. I've been to it so many times when I was little and more recently now. And I just think, There is a thing with nonprofits that you and I have been experiencing in theater and in circus all over. Just like the way of it's just such a big institution in a way, even a small nonprofit, that it's hard to make changes. And you can talk about changing and ways to improve, but it's hard. It's hard to change. And I think Big Apple, wanted to change or like adapt to the new times, but it's just it seemed hard.
I think that's the case, and I hope to see the next version of it soon.
So go buy the Big Apple.
Go buy it if you can afford to. It's our advice for the week. Go buy Big Apple. Speaking of good news, or something I thought was really cool, Randy Weiner just announced an English-speaking Chinese newspaper that I read. He's working on a new show in Shanghai based on Peter Pan. That
sounds awesome.
For those of you who've seen Sleep No More, it's a similar kind of setup. So it sounds like they're going to have 40,000 square feet of space in a building that maybe has multiple levels or is just really enormous. And it's Peter Pan for kids. And reading the press release and sort of trying to put my own take on what I know Randy typically does, it sort of seems like you probably enter through that house that all the kids live in, and then you eventually get taken to
Neverland,
and the entire space is designed as all the different locations in Neverland. So as a kid or a kid with your parents, you can probably go meet the pirates. You can go hang out with the Lost Boys. You can go see the mermaid section. And I'm sure there's much more to it than that. But just as a basic concept for what could be what is live theater, it sounds awesome to me.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So let's go to Shanghai.
Yeah, what are we waiting for? We can go to Shanghai Disney too.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm there. Shanghai Disney and immersive Peter Pan. Great.
more just chat about the news this week. There was a record set on Broadway. A record that's unlikely to be passed.
Yeah, there was.
By Hamilton. None other than Hamilton. Sold $3.2 million worth of tickets in 1 week.
But it's because they're charging $1,000 a ticket for their premium tickets.
People are buying them.
Yeah, I know. Good for the producers. Good for the show. It's just as an overall ecosystem, I think it's going to be terrible for Broadway. It's proving that little independent shows are going to fall by the wayside. 14 new musicals this season are opening. 14 new musicals, which is insane. And I think people are going to end up starting to just go to see Hamilton, Wicked, Lion King, Harry Potter, and Aladdin. Because the tickets are also now so expensive that people can only afford to go see one show if they're coming in and maybe they see, like, a movie. They go see a show and a movie because it's so expensive.
It is certainly very expensive to see a Broadway show.
And Harry Potter tickets are going to be just the same, like Hamilton. I just think it's going to be so hard for the independent producer that's smaller and has, like a $5 to $18 million capitalization to get their foot in for tourists, because the marketing budget that you need to like outmarket Hamilton and Harry Potter and Wicked and Lion King and Aladdin is just like, you need to raise an extra $20 million.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I agree with you. 99% I agree with you. But Hamilton, in a way, came out of nowhere. You know, there's still going to be those hits that come out of nowhere, not based on source material, that there probably won't be one this year, maybe not even next year. But
there hasn't really been one like this since Book of Mormon, which was like, what, 8 years ago? Kinky Boots was a hit, but like not like this.
Yeah, but I think
For the next 8 years, Broadway for the independent producer is going to be abysmal. And then in another 8 years for one show, it'll be great.
Yeah.
It's definitely a different, it seems like now people want an event, right? Not just a show. And all these musicals that are great and nice, but like aren't, you know, an event aren't working, but maybe they're not making money or they haven't recouped yet. You know, it's just gonna be really interesting to see how Broadway is. And like off Broadway is already having a big struggle. Commercial off Broadway, it's very hard to get people to come see your show and to make a profit. So I think like it's an interesting time to be like in theater in New York. But maybe people feel like this every year.
I think people feel like this every year. I think your darkness is the typical Broadway theater darkness.
I don't know.
And I think there...
But 14 new musicals. 14 new musicals are going to be vying for the Tony Award. And like 14 new musicals are vying for tourists and
I have
locals.
No pity for 14 shows vying for the Tony Awards. Hundreds of movies and songs vying
for
the Oscars.
Yes, but for
and
movies, you can have such a wider release. People all over the country can
maybe
go buy a ticket for $20
so
bucks and see their film. And you aren't dependent on one single location, which is New York City.
Yeah, theater has its own challenges. But perhaps the team at Hamilton bringing in $400,000 a show, even if you don't like that they're charging a lot of money, is still an unprecedented business accomplishment that should, from any producer's perspective, be impressive. Well, that's our episode today. Sorry we don't have a guest, but hopefully you found some of that news interesting and the little bit more information about our Kickstarter kind of compelling. We hope you'll visit our Kickstarter page. The link's in the description. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, tweet us, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
On Facebook, we're Hideaway Circus. Instagram is Hideaway Circus. Facebook, Twitter is Hideaway Circus. So it's pretty easy to remember, Hideaway Circus. And I would really, really, it would mean so much to us if you donated anything you could to our Kickstarter campaign so we can bring you more circus.
Yeah, we literally cannot do it without you.
No. And one benefit or one incentive or reward, is you get to join us on the podcast. So
make a podcast cameo.
Yeah. And, you know, chit chat with us. So
go check out our incentives. Go check out the Kickstarter page and let us know if you have any ideas for guests or topics to talk about. We have a few fun guests coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So stay tuned.
Hope you had a great weekend and have a good week. And we will
talk to you then.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.